cannot wait to talk about gut brain relations, axis, microbiome. Mm. When I hear that word, I feel like taking a probiotic.
All those happy people inside our guts.
A big thanks to our support here on Baby Brunch. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior Gentle All-Purpose Emollient Moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax. You won't believe it. Guess who's back in our studio? We've got Kath McGraw back in our Baby Brunch studio. It's good to have you here.
So nice to be back.
So explain the importance of gut-brain axis in, and here's my favorite line, the first 1,000 days of development. We are working with 1,000 days, okay? On this podcast, we did 1,000 days in dentistry and oral healthcare, and now in this time in our child's life and gut brain. Mm. How does this influence our health long term?
Sure. That's a loaded question.
So 2 years, good. 9 months, okay?
So good.
Gut brain axis, and surely this has an effect. Mm. I know because I have 4 kids and I have seen that it has an effect long term.
Has a huge, huge impact. And like you say, it starts right at the conception stage. That means mom's gut health plays a huge role in her baby's gut health. And what's quite fascinating about our guts is that our guts share space. So if you go to another country and you look at the gut microbiomes of people in another country, they will look different to the gut microbiomes of people in our country. If you look at the gut microbiome in a household, the gut microbiome will share similarities with each other because they're living in the same household. Mm. And so it's quite mind-blowing because our gut microbiome is not just in our gut. We carry it on our skin. And so it has a huge impact in our health, in our mental health, in obesity, in sleep, just in so many factors in our immune system and just in many, many areas and many spaces. But it all starts in those first 1,000 days.
For our listeners that haven't listened to our 1,000 days in oral healthcare and all the other work that we've done around this year on Baby Brunch, 1,000 days is not when baby is out. Mm-mm. It's from baby's development.
Exactly.
It's from you are pregnant.
Correct. Correct. So the minute you fall pregnant, that's when your 1,000 days start. Mm. Yeah, 100%.
What role does breastfeeding and formula feeding play in this time? And let's stick with 1,000 days, but in shaping our baby and our toddler's health. Mm.
So I think what's actually in the start of the birth obviously plays a huge role, because whether you have a C-section birth, your baby's going to have a different gut microbiome to the baby that has a natural vaginal delivery. And then if you choose to breastfeed or are able to breastfeed or you're not able to breastfeed will also have an impact. So we know that the type of food, the type of birth, the type of food will both impact. And then also what's really interesting is that it's not just breast milk, but it's also feeding at the breast. So if a mom is given breast milk, but she only expresses and the baby doesn't latch at the breast ever, the baby's gut microbiome will look different to a baby who's latching at the breast and having breast milk. So there's a lot of factors, but you can also have your baby on you and suck in on your skin, and they will get the same benefit as latching at the breast. So that's also really important for moms out there who weren't able to breastfeed, that you can play a role in their gut microbiome positively, even if you're not able to. But breast milk is magic on its own and has a whole microbiome of its own. And I think that's why it's so dynamic. But what is also very encouraging is that even if you're partial feeding, so the mixed feeding, doing formula and breast milk, your baby's gut microbiome is still affected positively. And so that's also good news. And the other good news for moms who were only able to formula feed, because remember, I love moms, all moms, and I don't judge moms. So all moms that, you know, are doing the best that they can for their baby, and there are just times when it just doesn't work for you and you're not able to. Formula these days knows that it's important to look after the gut microbiome. And so there are some really good formulas, and the ones that you want to look for are formulas that have HMOs, which is an acronym for human milk oligosaccharides, a big fancy term, just saying milk sugars, and breast milk sugars. Okay. And that's what makes breast milk so dynamic. And that encourages the growth of good bacteria. And we now know we can actually harness that, put it into formula to encourage a better gut microbiome. Nothing will beat breast milk, but there's some really good options out there.
I was so encouraged when you said you can hold baby, and even if baby's just sucking on you anywhere, they will still benefit.
Exactly.
Why do we have this negative feeling when we hear about gut health? You know, immediately we think, what's wrong?
Yeah, I know.
It's triggering.
Yeah, it is triggering. No, it is triggering. And we also, I think because a lot of things are now being linked to our guts, and we can all tick boxes of the things that aren't great with us that can be linked to our gut. And it feels overwhelming because it's a space we can't go into. It's not visible for us. It's this whole ecosystem inside our bodies that we don't see, with all these cute little characters driving around and doing their thing and growing and not growing and, you know, expanding, not expanding, and creating also just healthy byproducts of their metabolism. So when in your bacteria inside your gut, when it gets some what we call the prebiotics, it's like your fibers and those type of foods, fermented foods and things like that, it then eats and lives off that. But what we now have become much more interested in learning about is the postbiotics. So that's the what it gives off when it eats. So when your probiotics are well nourished, they give off something. And those things are the things that we're interested in, because that gives us the serotonin, which is 90% of our serotonin is from our gut. So which means that if we are struggling with, you know, depression and those type of things, we do want to look at what's happening in our gut. Also helps with, it produces GABA, which is another thing that's good for our brain. And so that helps us with an alertness, helps our kids with concentration, helps our kids to learn, helps us to stay alert, decreases the risk of Alzheimer's and later on in life. So even helps with kind of that foggy feeling. So if we're experiencing those symptoms, it means that our bacteria are not doing their job. And why? Maybe we're not feeding it correctly and not feeding our bacteria correctly.
So that brings me to, I mean, surely we need a plan, you know. If this was a business, I would say, what's our strategy?
What's the strategy?
So surely we need a plan as adults to try and create something that will help our toddlers connect, you know, our babies connect. What's the plan?
I think that the important thing is going back to nature. So going back to, as much as you can, less refined foods, getting your fibers in.
I'm smiling because I have a refined question that I want to ask you. Okay, so going back to nature, calm down.
Go back to nature, yes. Okay. Just feel the nature.
I do.
So it's like cooking from scratch when you can. Life happens. So like in our new book, we've put the 80-20 principle. And that's just to be kind, because we all need that. We need 20% where we just get that takeaway or just get that ready-made meal or something. But 80% of your time, we really want to nourish our bodies and give our bodies good nourishing foods. And so we want to start that from when we're pregnant. I always say pregnancy is such a wonderful time to readjust your eating. Because you have a goal, you have an incentive And especially women, we kind of
the incentive.
we need an incentive beyond just our bodies, mm-hmm. because otherwise that can become a bit unhealthy. Because our whole focus being, oh, we're losing weight, we're gaining weight, we want to lose weight, you know, and food has become often just that narrative. Mm. But when you're pregnant, you get to change the narrative of food and you get to say, now it's about my baby. It's about the future of this family. It's about growing healthy, a healthy family, like what you and your husband, you mentioned earlier, are planning on doing marathons and that. So you're doing that. You're changing some of the narratives around that. And pregnancy is that time and that moment when you can do that. And in that moment is when you can start to have an impact on your gut health. Because during your pregnancy, it also impacts the baby. And then obviously, like during the birth, it impacts the baby, the skin to skin after birth. Mm-hmm. If you've had to have a Caesar, which a lot of women have had to have, and then breastfed, you know, if you can breastfeed or for as long as you can, or if you can partially breastfeed, I often find just on the breastfeeding, moms often give up if it's all or nothing. And it doesn't have to be all or nothing. That's nonsense. And I think there's a lot of noise out there that makes it seem like you're either in the breastfeeding camp or you're excluded. And it mustn't be like that. You know, if you can only manage one breastfeed a day, well, that's amazing, because that's shown to have a very positive impact on your baby's gut microbiome.
Very excited about what we're saying about our mommies that can breastfeed and that has got the ability to, and those that don't. Hey, man, we love you. You are mom, okay?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And then refined foods. I mean, as you said it, I could feel my mouth open to just ask you questions. So you have to just answer one question around that. Refined and not refined.
Mm.
Explain it to us. So my cereals or not my cereals, refined foods. And then the second question before I forget is about this. Is it too late when I have been pregnant and baby's out and now for the first time I get hold of gut-brain interaction and there is the wave and I want to jump onto the wave, but I feel like it's too late.
So let me answer that first and then I'll speak about the refined foods. But I think it's never too late. Never too late. Never too late. That's the wonderful thing with our gut brain interaction is that our microbiome is a dynamic organism. Our gut is dynamic. So it's evolving and changing and moving all the time. And like I say, you know, my daughter's gone to Brazil and I reckon her gut microbiome is changing to identify with the environment around her. And that's cool. And that's often why people struggle sometimes when they travel with their guts. And it's often that they just, the guts are not connecting with the other guts out there.
Okay.
And so I think that's exciting. It's dynamic, it's evolving, it's changing, and it actually doesn't take that long to change for the better. That's often why you can be a week into eating healthy and you can feel better. Why are you feeling better? Because your gut's feeling better. So we know that it actually happens really fast. So go for it. If you kind of haven't done, it's cool. You know, we're talking kind of ideal in the science space, but anytime is awesome to jump onto this. It's so great. But don't wait, because you don't need to suffer then, you know. Let your kids be healthier. Let them find school easier. Let them be more active in sport just because their guts are healthier. So don't delay it when you know about it, but it's never too late. And then refined and unrefined. Okay, so the easiest way, and I tell my patients to remember that, is that refined foods have lots of things on the label, lots of ingredients on the label, then it's refined. And if it's got lots of names you can't pronounce or don't know what they are, it's most likely going to be refined. If it can last on your shelf, that should naturally go off indefinitely, it's probably refined.
Sorry that I'm giggling. Right.
So, you know, like our breads just don't go moldy anymore. They just live forever and a day. Our milk can last forever. So, be aware of that. So, you know, you might not be able to manage to find everything like as natural out of the earth as possible. We kind of say if your grandmother doesn't recognize it, then maybe it's refined. But that might not be possible with everything. So you do want to, yeah. So that's kind of a very simple way. And obviously, unrefined foods will have more nutrition in them. Yeah. It's going to have fiber in them. It's going to have more natural sugars in them. They're going to taste better. And they're also less addictive, which is very interesting. I find often I get kids picky eaters or kids that are like hooked on a certain like brand of food or a certain brand of protein. Often it's nuggets. And there's spices and ingredients in there that actually are a bit addictive to kids. And so you can actually wean them off that.
Okay.
And that actually improves their palate for a whole lot of other food. The similarly, where kids are not eating any fruits and vegetables, I've encouraged and guided the mom to like remove sugar from their diet, unnatural sugar, refined sugars, the sugars that are, you know, the very sweet, sweet stuff. You remove that, changes their palate. And suddenly an apple actually does taste sweet.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Whereas before, if you eat in a bar one, it tastes super, super sweet. Then straight afterwards, I'll give you an apple. It's going to taste extremely bland.
Or a cup of tea without sugar.
Yeah. Mm. So I think it's really important that we retrain and help our kids retrain their taste buds.
I'm quite excited about our next question because I know when you travel, you help so many people. And in particular, you happened to visit two of your patients that needed you most today. And so I want to know, how do we manage things like, or can one manage things like anxiety, ADHD, autism in children, particularly through the gut-brain axis?
So diet plays a huge role in managing those. I think what's really important is that it's not all or nothing. So I'm not saying they don't need any medications or that medications play a role. But in my experience, when kids have a good foundation of diet, they're much more responsive to therapies. They need much less medications. And we do know, again, that if a child is not eating a nourishing diet and their gut microbiome is not healthy, they're not going to produce that serotonin. We've seen a lot of kids who are depressed. We've seen a lot of kids who are anxious. And there's many factors, but one of them is definitely in the diet space and can definitely play a very positive role.
I remember in some of the conversations that we've had, including fussy eating, et cetera, you know, we talk about how the entire household and our culture is, you know, changing into something yummy and delicious in order to help everyone. So I'm immediately thinking of toddler or child going to school. How do we make that transition? You know, it happens to also be a Facebook post and I was poking a bit of fun. And look, I exaggerated it a bit where I said this whole lunchbox came home, you know. So the bread came home and I ate it. But all the healthy stuff were eaten, which made me feel even better. Okay. But, you know, how does one transition it or start it, especially if you're not looking? You know, when they are with caretaker, nanny, your mom and dad, or even when they are at school.
So I think it starts with building that culture in the home space. And we also, like in a previous podcast where we spoke on the picky eating story and with regards to, you know, not forcing the kids and remembering giving them the autonomy to decide how much they will eat at a meal. When you have that sort of culture and a child starts to buy into it and they understand why eating healthy is important, you then hope that when they're in the big bad world, they'll make choices and they're not going to make all the good choices and not just in the food space and other spaces as well. But hopefully they will always have that good foundation and grounding to fall back on that they're going to know. So it would be a lot of schools have become amazing at encouraging healthy lunch boxes and only like a treat on a Friday and things like that. So if your school does, that's fantastic. And you can then, it's much easier. If they don't, I would definitely start that conversation with other parents and with the teachers. I would really encourage that. And then also say to your kid, okay, I understand your friend gets a chocolate every single day, but we've never eaten like that. So you're not going to feel the greatest if you do, but you can definitely have one of the treats during the week. That's absolutely fine. So kind of meeting them halfway. Or if now there's suddenly a tuck shop, which is often a big thing, it's a novelty. Also, don't give them R100, you know. That's probably not a lot these days, but give them
55
rand. So give them just enough for something small, but not like just randomly, you know, every single day. But it's just as they get older, it's then having those conversations. I mean, just on a personal story, my eldest, you know, grew up when I figured it out in a fairly good, healthy home. And I have to admit, there was a trip overseas that I flew back on and was like, I need to make some changes to our eating. And I was a dietitian already, like probably about 10 years in. So I've got so much grace for parents. And that journey took us 2 years to do a shift. And so then he kind of was exposed to that. And then when he kind of got out on his own, he was living on McDonald's until he got so sick that he figured it out.
Yeah.
And then he fell back on the tools that he learned because he knew how to eat healthy.
Right.
But that's the story at that age group that you have to let them do those type of things. And when he would, when I noticed he was starting to get sick quite a lot, I did have a conversation with him and I said, I appreciate you making your choices and maybe also coming from a dietetic home, you know,
wanting to rebel a bit. It's like a pastor's child, man.
And exactly. And I was like, you know what? You can do it, my love, but the consequences that I'm seeing that make me sad because you means every time he gets sick, you can't go to sport, and he loved sport and things. And then I think I helped him make that link. And today he will refer back to that conversation.
I like the notion of education and that it's a conversation, you know.
Yeah.
We actually did a research poll on this, on relationship. We said, what is the most important tool on relationship? Is it values? Is it? And most people said it's actually on conversation and trust. And it's wonderful that you're encouraging conversation because he had something to fall back on, you know.
Exactly.
Also that his mother's always right.
Yeah. I love that. And it's so funny because on the he's married now, and on his honeymoon, his wife sent me a picture of him eating a big bowl of fruit salad, the first he's ever eaten. So if all else fails, picky eaters, just marry them off to somebody who they love and who will. So she's got him eating fruit.
Now I miss my kids. Don't marry off your children. No, I'm kidding. Okay, let's talk about mom. So now mom and partner, or mom and dad, or whoever is carrying the baby, gut brain axis and what it influences, surely what we consume, then it affects our mood, right? And our energy levels.
Exactly. And I think, you know, there's definitely been an increase in postnatal depression, which you know has many facets to it. Please hear me on this. It's not just all going to be solved by nutrition, but nutrition can definitely help the journey and definitely help moms prepare to be and to kind of feel the best they can from a nutritional space towards that journey that they're going to go on. Because, sure, it's hard work having the baby, actually having the baby, and then it's hard work when you've got the baby. And, you know, doing that journey, it's beautiful and it's wonderful and I highly recommend it, but it is really hard work. And I think, you know, we prepare for marathons, we eat well for, you know, when we want to achieve something in the sports space and physical space. And there's a lot of physical tax on our body going through labor and then going through or a C-section, both equally taxing in different ways. And then, you know, actually being that mom and breastfeeding and or just managing sleepless nights and things like that, you know.
Let's face it, there's a lot to manage. When being pregnant, you know, they said have a baby, you know. we still want it to be fun. What are the best dietary practices? I mean, now I must also go on diets, you know, to try and maintain a healthy gut-brain connection because now I'm carrying the baby. Does it have to be difficult?
No.
I mean, will it impact the developing of my baby?
So I think what's going to be the most healthiest to do is to do a type of diet in the space of the Mediterranean diet.
Okay.
Because that allows you to still enjoy your glass of wine. Obviously not during pregnancy, please, moms. But, you know, as kind of going forward to do, have you still get one or two servings of your meat, if you enjoy that. You have fish, maybe do a plant-based day. You know, I'm quite pro some plant-based days in a family because that really helps that gut microbiome. You become quite creative with what you try and you tend to find you eat a little bit more fiber. You eat different types of fiber when you eat plant-based proteins, quite different to just fruit and veggie fiber. And I think that is standard fruit and veggies, you know, then like lentils and chickpeas and that have a very special fiber that the probiotics in our gut love. The good bacteria love it. And it really helps. So, and it helps the budget. So that's kind of the space you want to get into. But I always say to my families, make one change at a time. Every change you're going to make is going to put you in the right direction. Okay. As long as you're going heading in the right direction, you just make it one change at a time.
You actually just reminded me of a conversation that we had on perimenopause. Oh, dynamic doctor, Dr. De Jong, she is just, she's on fire, okay? Mm. And she reminded us of lentils, and I actually enjoy it. And you just reminded me the last time I had lentils was last year.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm definitely going to bring that back because it reminds me of the Mediterranean diet. Is there a connection between our gut brain axis and postnatal depression?
So there's a link between depression and gut brain axis. So we definitely know that if our gut microbiome can have a very positive role, because what the probiotics produce in their postbiotic state are feel good precursors to the hormones in our body.
Okay.
So based on that, it can definitely have an impact within the postnatal right. depression space.
Is there a way to speed it up? I mean, I don't want to wait 3 months for my gut and my brain to talk to each other. Surely. Come on.
Quick.
So when you have a handful of nuts and this pull.
I'm so glad you asked that question. So probiotics can play a role in definitely helping us on that journey. What research has shown, and at a recent conference I was really interesting, is that the older you are, the more you need to then rely on probiotics. The younger you are, the probiotic could trigger your body actually producing its own kind of dynamic microbiome system.
Okay.
When you get older, you do need a bit of a kickstart and a help with that. But remember that you can take the most wonderful probiotic in the world, and it will mean nothing if you don't have the prebiotics to feed it. And we often forget that. We often say, oh, I've taken probiotics and they don't work. But then it's like, what are you eating alongside those probiotics? Are you feeding them? Because without food, they're not going to make all these good things that they can potentially make for us. And I think there's an awareness now and understanding. We've also redone the way we study probiotics, because we've studied probiotics in isolation. Now we're studying them in combination with the prebiotics, and we've seen much more better results of giving people probiotics in the right way. So probiotics with lifestyle change, absolutely wonderful, because stress can also affect your gut microbiome. So I think it is important to remember that. But I often find when people start making healthy changes, they start to bring in exercise, starts to lower their stress. It kind of comes as a package together. If you want to do it fast, then you just go big guns and do it all in one go. But be kind to your family, because it's a journey for them. So your body will respond quickly, as I said. It really does. Cut out those sugars, but then you go all out, you know. Cut out all the sugars and get rid of every single bit of refined food. Have your plant-based diets mixed in with your other good healthy proteins. And that can definitely start. And then use things like your kefir and those type of drinks are very, very helpful to also speed that up, because they're pre and probiotic in one serving.
Kath, you are a gift to the world. I really thank you for being here. May your family and your business and even you be protected and go on a gracious journey to helping more and more people. We pray for the safety of your children who's traveling. Thank you for helping all of our moms and for doing this for decades to just establish peace. Oh gosh, there's so much information out there, so that we can always listen to the right voice. To find out more about Kath, if you don't know her by now, to all of our new mommies and daddies, you can find her on nutripeds.co.za. The information will also be on our website in our biography of all of our guests and support, and also on social media on Baby Brunch.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.